25, 26, and 27. That concludes then Tau SA.
Question time. Comments. Madam.
Chairperson, my first question is on page 22. The department refers to the universally accepted definition. Where are they getting that definition from? And obviously it's not universally accepted if people disagree with it. And then on page 23, the point number 6, referring to paragraph 8.2, the department says that the proposal would contravene section 19 of the Constitution, which deals with the political rights of citizens. It strikes me that municipal managers, for example, are prohibited from being active members of political parties. When I say active, they are prevented from holding office in any political party. And I think that the department's interpretation that this is in contravention of the Constitution is actually incorrect.
Any further questions or comment? Department?
Chair, from what Honourable Mariam has said about the municipal managers, the proposal is not prohibition from active politics. The proposal from Tau SA is that they should not have been involved in politics prior to appointment, and that is where the difference is. The one on the universally accepted definition, we got the definition from the profession itself, Chairperson. So this submission does not contest the definition. It proposes an addition to the definition for purposes of this particular bill. So it doesn't contest that it is universally accepted. It says, please broaden it by adding the following or change this to that.
The comment was made that the definition was obtained from the evaluation.
Just a minute. I think maybe let him finish first. We'll make a follow up. Let him finish his responses. Are you finished then? Oh yeah, he's finished. Continue. Sorry,
I apologize, Chairperson. The comment was made that the definition came from the valuation profession. Now I'm assuming that by that we're referring to the South African Institute of Valuers. Is that right?
I need to check exactly where it came from. But what I can say is that the South African Institute is an institute. It's a voluntary organization for valuers. It's not. Remember, the council is the one that is regulatory. The council is the one that is statutory. But the institute is people volunteer to belong to it. But as to exactly where it was extracted, we may come back to
Chairperson, my point is this.
Honourable Malam, I want you to allow him to speak.
Yeah, no, Chairperson, I was actually talking when...
And before you speak, I also want you to explain to me what would be the material effect of where the definition is coming from in terms of your argument, well, just for my own clarity.
Chairperson, first of all, I don't believe it is universally accepted. and that means that there is contestation over what the definition is, and that means that we as legislators have to then apply our minds to what the definition of valuation is. We can't assume that a definition is universally accepted if there are people that are contesting it. My point that I was getting to is that in the South African Institute of Valuers submission, which we'll come to in a moment, they use the exact same words, highest and best use. Now, if the valuation profession, if the voluntary body of the valuation profession is saying this is not the definition that we accept, then I have to question the department's response that it's a universally accepted definition.
Okay, department.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just to amplify what my colleague is saying, I don't think it's a disputing of the definition rather than an expansion of the definition to include based on highest and best use of such interest. And we are saying that will open the door for speculation, Chair. When you value, being prudent requires that you value current use, not best, highest and best use of such interest. So I honestly would not call it a contest, but rather an expansion of the definition.
Okay, I think, Honourable Minister.
Chair, this is a matter of interest. This is partly why we have this bill before us. You know, it is not farmers who are getting the difference between what is market value and what is not market value. It is exactly these institutions we are talking about now. You know, Jay, I could have bought land for 70 million rands. Yet I paid only 6.9 million rands. If only I had not sent this man and my chief of staff at the time and a lawyer to go and meet with the farmers. The farmers asked us, where did you get this price from that we're charging 25,000 rands per hectare? We said it's from valuations. Well, this is the subject matter of this bill. And they said, give us a moment. We went out in the caucus, there in the Kwablastar. They went back, they came back and said 4,750 per hectare. I paid 6.9 million rands instead of 70 million rands. So that is why we have this bill. Our interest is the same with the farmers on this matter. There are people between the government and the farmers who are benefiting unjustly. That's the purpose of this. So when we argue about whose definition we accept or not and so on, it's immaterial. In essence, it is immaterial. It's a question of protecting certain interests. We should not do that. The farmers are quite aware that they are suffering as a result of the interest between fraud, conveyancing, valuation between. That's what it is all about. So parliamentarians, yeah, I really, 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 really appeal. We should all be one in one thing, and one thing only, that what we want to get out of this institution, a new institution, is the best for the country. Something that will help South Africans to share the wealth of the land, which belongs to them as their heritage. Not certain people. At the expense of others. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it has been sufficiently discussed. We will leave it at that. We will now move to the next submission.
Thank you, Chair. Chair will note that this submission was done differently. They had a specific pattern in which they had crafted their submission. What I will do, because in the interest of time, is to go to the red notes What they had done was where they're recommending a deletion. You'll see that the line is deleted. There's a strike through. And then where they're recommending insertions, they've done it in italic, bold. And then what we would now call their specific recommendations would be in red. So I will go specifically to the red and address those. That is the South African Institute of Valuers. In section one, particularly with respect to market value, they are recommending that we delete that part that talks about taking into account prices paid by the state for any acquisition of property. And then the comment is that market value should not be qualified to exclude state transactions or to include them when no sales are available. It should rather read, and then below it provided that any state transaction should be treated with caution in using it as a market proxy. Our response to the department is that we do not agree with this proposal because, again, the state can never be regarded as a willing buyer in cases of land reform. So the transactions previously concluded with the state have skewed the market quite tremendously. Therefore, we want them to be excluded. And then the next one is property. The explanation is that this definition excludes registered rights as well as unregistered rights like occupiers who enjoy protection under various legislation, extension of security of tenure act and the like. This should also be included as it is conceivable that land required for transformation purposes will have land where such rights do vest. So they are proposing that we must, in our definition of property, insert a right in or to such property, including an unregistered right protected by an act of parliament. The department agree that we will amend accordingly. Then with respect to valuation, again, it's that discussion that we had now to insert based on the highest and best use of site interest. I think this matter has been discussed already. I'm not going to belabor it. Page 30, in value, they are recommending that the way the section 25.3 is written, where it says that after identified purposes of land reform must be just and equitable, that we must take those words must be just and equitable and translate them directly into our definition. We are saying that this just and equitable is directly linked to compensation. And compensation is a process that follows on from expropriation. And at this stage, we are not talking expropriation yet. We're still just determining a value. So we are not going to include this must be just and equitable. Valuation reports, the recommendation is that we must delete that a registered valuer must, in respect of each valuation, that we must substitute that with property. We do not agree with the proposal as it is unnecessary and it actually does not affect the meaning of the clause. And then the next recommendation is that we must insert such valuation must include a detailed analysis, modeling, and discussion of each transaction property which was used to derive the value of the property in question. Just reading that sentence on its own is clumsy, substituting property with valuation as recommended above. We are saying we're not going to prescribe how, in this legislation at least, how a valuation report should look. This will be dealt with in the directives as contemplated in clause 11.4. With respect to valuation fees, section 16, they want to add that we must say similar fees will apply to an authorized valuer appointed in terms of section 11.282. It comes from the fact that the valuer general, I'll read that one quickly, having regard to the professional fees determined in terms of section 35 of the property valuers, determines the basis for the calculation of the valuation fees. That is what we're providing. Clause 16 deals with the determination of fees to be recovered from departments for the provision of valuation services by the OVG and does not deal with the fees to be paid to private valuers used by the OVG. The fees for private valuers will be determined by agreement in terms of clause 7B and in line with the PFMA. The recommendation that they have made there is in pink, and I guess it's, the response should indicate what the recommendation should be. They want us to be confined to those fees, but we're saying that, again, we will still be operating within the law. And again, the appointment of a private valuer is going to be by agreement with the valuer general, so the fees will also be agreed to in that agreement. And then Section 19, Delegation of Powers and Duties, they are recommending that we delete that the valuer general may delegate any power and duties. They're saying we must leave it that it he may only delegate duties. In red there, they're saying the above provision is much too wide and may transfer power into hands of a staff member not equipped for the task. Therefore, the suggestion to remove the word power and amend the subsection as shown above. Again, this one has also already been responded to by the minister earlier about the role of delegation and what that entails and the responsibilities that, that accompany that one. So I'm not going to respond to that one. They are recommending that we delete that the Deputy Valuer General may delegate any power or function assigned to the Deputy Valuer General in terms of this Act to any staff members of the Office of the Valuer General who possesses appropriate skills. Section 9 makes provision for the Deputy Valuer General to stand in for the Valuer General, and therefore there is no need for this subsection. In the alternative, the amendment suggested for subsection 19.1b should also be applied here. Clause 9 provides that the Deputy Valuer General can only act as Valuer General in the absence of Valuer General. The necessity for clause 19.2 therefore remains for those powers assigned to him. This says that legislatively the Deputy Valuer General will have powers that are assigned by virtue of the legislation. The powers that will be delegated to him will be those that are the Valuer Generals where the Valuer General is absent and has delegated those powers to him. So there is no need to remove those. The deputy will be able to delegate powers that are legislatively assigned to him in terms of the Act. And then they're recommending that we should delete that the Deputy Valuer General may delegate any power. And then in clause 3, a delegation or instruction in terms of the provision is much too wide and may transfer power into the hands of a staff member not equipped for the task. Therefore, the suggestion is to remove the word delegation and amend subsection 19.3 accordingly. The department does not agree with the limitation and conditions set out in 19.3 should apply to both delegations and instructions. They are recommending that we delete that that may include the power to sub-delegate. As Minister explained earlier, delegated powers are not delegated further unless provided for expressly in legislation. And in this instance, we are making provision for sub-delegation. On page 34, they are recommending that the Valuer General or Deputy Valuer General vary or revoke any decision taken in consequence of a delegation or sub-delegation in terms of this section, subject to any rights that may have accrued to a person. This is exactly the opposite of what was discussed earlier. They are of the view that if we keep this clause that makes the decision subject to the rights accrued, it says they will undermine the authority of the Valuer General or the Deputy Valuer General. The department does not agree with this proposal. If these words are deleted, the protection of the rights that may have accrued to a person as a result of a decision to vary or revoke will be removed, and we want to protect rights, as explained earlier. Chair, the rest of the comments are also very general in nature, and they really are very, very subjective. From pages 34 to 37, they are not necessarily related to the bill per se. It's just I think it's anecdotal reading.
Comments, questions? Can I take it there are no questions? No questions. The other submission?
I think the rest from Mr. San Neveli are chairperson the same comment there of a general nature based on subjective views of an individual and do not relate to any specific provision in the bill. That we have read them and that is our view. We are not able to technically respond to them. Also, they are of a political nature, so we haven't responded to them as public servants, Chair. We are done with the ones that we could respond to.
Okay. How many submissions have we received so far? I have lost count. Seven? Good. So are there any comments on the last one? Or questions? Go ahead.
Chairperson, as I said earlier, this is a very technical bill that has a lot of major economic, financial, policy consequences. And there may well be some unintended consequences to this. I honestly don't believe that the period that we allowed for public comment was long enough. I really believe that this bill should have been afforded a greater opportunity for public comment. It is a landmark bill. It has enormous potential to do both good but also harm if not handled properly. I think that we should send it back for further public submissions, to be perfectly honest.
In terms of the, let me just find out. In terms of the rules of how a bill is processed, when it arrives at the committee level, it's advertised and comments are invited. And did this bill follow the procedure?
Yes, Chair. It follows that procedure. But to this one, no one has requested for an extension of time. And the only two persons that requested the bill, I forwarded to them. And then I made a follow-up with them to check if they received the bill. Do they have any comments to submit? They said no. So the comments that we have are the comments that were submitted by the public.
Thank you. Honorable Gwenya Mabila will be followed by Honorable Smadi.
Chair, I think there are processes, as Pumla has indicated, that are being followed for public comments. People can come and make their verbal presentation and also written submissions with the deadlines. So if people have not, those have made submissions, they've made submissions, those who have come for verbal presentations, they've done so. I don't think that is a need really to say that public participation needs to be extended further. Because the bill also, if a bill is technical, most of the people become, you know, they're not interested on it in most cases. But if we follow the processes, I think that is the right thing that we're supposed to do. Let us proceed processing the bill as the committee further rather than delaying it.
Madam Swati.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, once more. I'm also surprised because most of the bills that we have dealt with, they had so many people who were doing submissions, but this is only 7 people, so I'm asking myself, this whole country with 9 provinces, only 7 people submitted. Then I start to actually support my colleague, Honorable Mailem, that maybe people didn't get a chance to see the advert, or there were some things that they, because there were so many bills that were advertised this month and this past month. If you check the roll in our ATC, you can see that we've got more than 20 bills. So maybe those things have actually affected. They made people to lose concentration and look into other bills. But maybe sometimes if we can, if there is that opportunity of allowing others who maybe can make submission. But 7 out of the whole country to me is very less. Thank you.
Honorable Matlanya.
Chairperson, I think it's not upon us to force the members of the public to respond on something that they are not interested in. Because the fact that we followed due processes that was allowed in the rules says that we have done the best we can, and if people are not in a position to comment on the bill given the time limits that they were given, then it's not for us as members to say no. We are thinking on their behalf, and this is what must happen. We followed due processes. Let's continue.
Mandela.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps since we are dwelling on the possibilities of maybes, it's quite possible that maybe they didn't respond because they agree with the bill. And therefore, I want to say, Chairperson, since we have paid the necessary attention to following the rules and have done the due process, we should proceed forward and lean on the possibility of maybe they do agree with the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honourable members. I think we all agree that we follow the necessary processes in terms of what is expected of us when such legislation is before the committee. And I think the stakeholders who participated are actually key in this area that we're dealing with. We have the banks, we have the valuers, we have Agri-SA, we have Tau, those are key sectors. But all in all, we have received submissions. We spend the whole day here looking at those submissions. We spend half a day today listening to the response from the department. And, for now, what is left of us is just to continue to drive this process to its logical conclusion. If maybe there is a suggestion to hold on, maybe it can be made in the House when we debate the bill, but we are going to have to submit the report to the House because we have been given a task. Honestly speaking, we have done our task. What is left is to finalize it and take the whole package back to the body that actually mandated us to proceed with this thing. And I think from there, that is when, if people want to make suggestions, they can. But for us as a committee, we would have delivered the product to the principal who actually instructed us to do the work. So we leave it at that. We unfortunately we can't go back to and do door to door and say to people, please make submission. We cannot do that. So I therefore conclude that the process has been followed and the discussion on this thing will proceed to its logical conclusion. Now, we're going to end here for now. We'll meet tomorrow. Are we meeting in the same place? We're meeting in V119 tomorrow at 9:30 to finalize our work and also look at the report, possibly, of the public hearings. For now, let's go ahead and enjoy our food, and we'll meet in the plenary this afternoon. Thank you very much.